Welcome to the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Diving stop Seager. Toss on a hop to first. In time to get Simmons.
Three-run homer. Robinson Cano off the lefty specialist Fernando Abad. And the Mariners lead it 5-4.
Goodbye, baseball. Straight away center field. Cano and Cruz go back to back.
And the king, when the Mariners needed him the most, two hits over seven. Scoreless innings.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
Yes, welcome back, Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Thanks for being here once again, and we have big fun to talk about as the Mariners, what a road trip. We're going to talk about the game last night, and I guess yesterday afternoon, as the Mariners beat the Astros, they win the series, and coming home for a four against the Yankees. So, a lot to talk about. Kevin Martinez is going to join us. He will preview the homestand, long homestand, Yankees for four, Red Sox for three, Mets for three. So he'll be here to talk about what is coming up. Great conversation with Casey Kandel on the way as well. Tomorrow we're going to hook up with Mark Simon of ESPN, always one of the best. And he's going to give us a close look at the Yankees. So there'll be one game in the books by the time we get to the conversation, but it will be well worth it. Conversations with Mark Simon always are. We'll go in depth on some stats as well, some defense, and a lot to talk about. So he's going to join us on the podcast tomorrow. At Mariners Pod on Twitter, at Gary Hill Jr. on Twitter. You can find the podcast all over the place. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, maybe more. I can't remember. I think that's it. If you need it anywhere else, just let me know. I can usually get it playing just about everywhere. So, okay, now that that's taken care of, this was quite a trip. Mariners 5-1 on the trip. They've won six of their past seven games, and now 1.5 games back of the Yankees for the second wild card, with four games starting tonight at Safeco Field against New York. So a big four ball games. Before we talk about those, though, let's dive into the game yesterday. It was an outstanding ball game in a lot of ways. It had everything. The pitching was outstanding. James Paxton was lights out. The defense was fantastic. Came up with some very timely plays. And enough hitting along the way to get it done and take two of three from the Astros, which is easier said than done. Houston having a tremendous season, obviously. Mariners now back at 500 at 48-48. But it was along the lines of every game on this trip. The Mariners fell behind early. Astros with a run in the third to take the first lead of the ball game. Morton on the hill for Houston, and he was pitching well. Mariners, though, able to break through in the fourth inning. Segura would single to center field, of course. He always seems to be on base. And then Gamble going yard, two-run blast.
The pitch swung on, well hit ball. Deep down the right field line, going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Ben Gamble with his fifth home run of the season has given the Mariners a 2-1 lead here in the top of the fourth inning with Gene Segura aboard.
So that gave the Mariners 2-1 lead in the fourth inning. Neither team scored in the fifth. The Mariners would get one more in the sixth inning, playing a little add-on as Cano grounds into a fielder's choice to bring home a run in the sixth. And then in the seventh, they would add one more run. This time, Mike Zunino coming through big.
Pitch to Zunino. Swung on, driven down the left field line. It's going to get down. It's a fair ball. Valencia touches third. He's going to score easily. Zunino digging for second. He'll get there standing up. RBI double. Mike Zunino, a 4-1 Mariner lead here in the seventh.
But really, this story was James Paxton, who was lights out.
The windup delivers, swing, and a miss by Marisnik for strike three. That is strikeout number five for James Paxton. Marisnik is gone, and so are the Astros here in the bottom of the fifth inning.
And a pitch to Marisnik. Swung on and missed. A breaking ball and a beauty. Struck him out. Strikeout number seven. And Big Pax has gotten it done today.
He was outstanding in the ball game. Defense was very good as well. In the eighth inning, Nick Vincent comes on. Springer would lead off with a single to shortstop. Altuve would single to left, but then a magnificent play, which, I mean, this is play of the ball game. Heredia, and we've talked about Heredia, how good he has been. He's been plus at all three positions this year. This was an amazing play to cut down what could have been a Houston rally.
Springer lead. Here's the pitch. Swung on. Well hit ball deep to left field. This one is going to be off the wall. Right to Heredia. Springer to third. The throw to Kyle Seager, and out at third is Springer. The throw to second. Safe at second. Altuve. Holy smokes. What a throw by Guillermo Heredia. Altuve with a double off the out-of-town scoreboard and straightaway left field. The ball came right back to Heredia. Springer was trying to go from first to third, and Heredia threw a strike, and I mean a strike, right to Kyle Seager at third base on the fly. Seager reaching down with a tag on Springer, and there's one away. What a great throw by Heredia.
And then another man reaches thanks to a throwing error. So the tying run comes to the plate in Beltran. The Mariners turn him around. Zepchinski comes on, and he finishes off the eighth inning.
The 1-2 pitch on the way to Beltran. Swing and a miss. Strike three, and the inning is over. Mark Zepchinski strikes out Carlos Beltran, and that will retire the side.
The bullpen was outstanding on this trip. A lot of high-leverage situations through this entire trip. Every game was close. Diaz comes on in the ninth inning. He closes out another save. 4 days in a row, four saves in a row, gets a day off, right back at work. Then he closes out another one. So he gets it done, and the Mariners get the win. Paxton, seven innings, six hits, one run, one walk, and seven punch-outs. It's amazing what he has done against Houston this year. Paxton has a 0.45 ERA against the Astros. They are batting 171 against him. 20 innings, 12 hits, 1 run, 4 walks, 20 strikeouts. For comparison, so 0.45 ERA and 3 starts against Houston. The rest of baseball against the Astros, a 5.50 ERA. How about batting average? 171. The rest of baseball hit the Astros are hitting 291 against the rest of baseball. 291. Unbelievable. A high-powered offense that Paxton has just shut down three times this year. What'd the skipper think? Let's find out.
Pax was outstanding today. It's exactly what the doctor ordered. He was on top of his game. And really, the first time, we started to see a little bit of his cutter come into play here last outing, and today it did. Came into play big time. He threw some really good ones down, back foot to the right-handed hitters, and was something to get them off of it, the fastball and stuff. So, again, a really good road trip by our ball club. We talked about some things coming out of the break, where we needed to get to and how we were going to get there, and then the guys have responded. Our offense has been pretty consistent. The pitching, though, is in this series, was big. A bullpen, again, continues to do the job. Got a little dicey there in the eighth, but the guys have been stretched. We've asked a lot of them, just pitching as many days as they have. But they all want the ball. They all want to be part of it, and we're getting it done right now.
Heredia?
Yeah, that play of the game. Heredia, the ball off the wall. He has a tremendous throwing arm, and I think not just the velocity. A lot of guys in this league could throw it hard from the outfield, but he's so accurate. And that's what really is the separator. So, again, big double by him today, scoring a run. But the play, the carom off the wall and the throw to third base, that was the play of the game.
That wall gives a lot of visiting players trouble. I mean, is this a level of confidence to go over there and play that ball the way he played it and know where it needs to be?
It was really the only way he could. I mean, the ball was hit so hard by Altuve. And we got a fortunate bounce off it. That ball can bounce any different direction. But, our guys are out there early. They're working it in BP and stuff like that. But you need a little luck, and the ball came back to him. He handled it perfectly. And, again, the accuracy of the throw is what made the play.
Bullpen showed, I mean, not only good work, but a little bit of adversity in Game 1 and Game 3, and able to battle through it, and that's as important as anything, I would imagine.
Oh, no doubt. I think, asking a lot of those guys, some of these guys, 5 out of 6 days have been out there, Vincent and Diaz, and you know, the air in the inning, and here you start thinking, okay, here we go again. You can kind of see the momentum starting to come their way. But, you know, I think we pitch at a time. You know, the big out, obviously, was getting Gattis out. And then Zepp did a nice job flipping Beltran around and executing some pitches there. So everybody contributing, that's what it's going to take. That's what it was about this road trip. And, you know, we got a fun homestand coming up. Guys are looking forward to it.
How you won this game today without your big three guys who have to do everything? It seems like, you know, that diversity of your lineup is showing a little bit more too.
I think we've seen that throughout the year. The young guys at the bottom, at the top, you know, what Ben Gamel's done, Heredia chipping in, Zanino big hit today. It's what it takes. That's what the good ball clubs have. It's a 1-9, and you know those guys in the middle can't do it every day. They get pitched pretty tough, and it's hard to be on top of it all the time, and that's why everybody's got to contribute. And it's been fun to watch. We've got a lot of fun baseball ahead of us.
How about just winning a series here? These guys have been tough on you.
They're a good team. There's a reason they have the record they have. They're very balanced. They're good at bullpen. They're starting pitching's outstanding. They can score runs. They put pressure on you. They can do a lot of things, but I think we've get to the point we've played them so much down here, and that's with all the interdivisional games, and you kind of get, you know, they know what we can do, we understand what they can do, and you know, you just keep things in perspective and try to play your game, and that's what I think we did here the last 3 days.
This guy, you guys kind of went out and won them. They didn't give them to you. Had to win them here.
No doubt. You know, I thought we ran the bases much better. We did the little things better. And that sometimes has gotten away from us, and it costs you or allows the other team to get back into a game. And today we did a nice job with it. And, you know, I think the competitiveness of our ball club, really fun to see it come together. You can hear it's a different tone in our dugout. You know, the guys feel it. They know we're playing good baseball, and we're playing the baseball we're capable. And now just finishing off games and keeping it rolling.
Well, there it is, and what was incredible. Mention the bullpen there, 22 1/3 innings on this trip, 4 runs allowed, 26 strikeouts, and again, a lot of high-leverage innings, a lot of close ball games. They got it done. This is the 10th time against the Astros this year a pitcher has gone 7-plus while allowing one earned run or fewer. Only one pitcher has done it more than once, James Paxton. He's done it twice now to the Houston Astros. What did he do? Well, let's hear from Mike Zunino, who had the big hit in the ball game, but he also talked about how good James Paxton was.
Best his curveball cutter's been combined in one outing. I thought his fastball command was great. Was able to throw a little bit of a two-seam to keep the fastball off the barrel. I mean, it's not an easy lineup to throw to. So for him to do that, go through seven, only give up one was huge. And then another great job by our bullpen today.
Mike, he's given up one run in 20 innings against that lineup. It's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, I mean, he's obviously got swing and miss stuff, and they're a free swinging team. There's a couple times in some at bats where it looked like some guys were just taking to sort of see if he could throw strikes, and they ended up one ended up walking. But you mean, it's one of those things, they're going to be swinging, and he's got enough stuff to miss bats, and I mean, it's a good combination against those guys.
So this Christmas, you've seen some pitches. What about Yago, man? He just dotted all the pitches he wanted.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good. It's one of those things, too, where, I mean, there's been a couple times where he's been able to come in, thrown a little bit more as of late, so he's starting to feel good. And, I mean, it's nice to be able to use everyone in those spots.
What do you say about this bullpen ever since the break? I mean, it's not just automatic, too. There have been some games of adversity and having to fight through things.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of been the unsung hero of the first games back from this break, you know? I mean, these guys, especially the back half of those bullpen, I mean, they really have thrown, I mean, what, 5 out of 6 days, most of those guys. And I think a lot goes to say, too, about, you mean, the job Pagan's done, the job Yo's done, to sort of keep those guys fresh and throw those hard innings if we're not in a ball game. But, you mean, that's just what the bullpen is. Everyone's picking up one another and really helped us out.
The consistency with Diaz, what's been the key to that?
I think the more he throws, the better he seems to get. And I think he's learned his mechanics, sort of his mindset's in a good place. He knows when he attacks guys that success is going to come. And I think he's trusting himself more and just throwing strikes and attacking guys.
Look at this homestand. You got 10 games at home.
Yeah.
And you know what August is going to be like.
We got a lot of games against guys in front of us in the wild card. And, you mean, obviously it's one of those things we're taking it one game at a time, but we know how important they are. And I think guys are doing that, putting everything on the line every game. And I think one game at a time is really going to, you mean, help us get through these stretches.
One game at a time. Well, let's talk about one game coming up tonight against the Yankees. First, let's hear from James Paxton, why not, who was outstanding in this one.
just, you know, it's feeling good. You know, we've been kind of weren't using it for a little while there and kind of got back to using it. And now we're getting it where we want to get it in the strike zone. And so that allows us to use it more.
How much do you need that against right-handers, that cutter?
It's a big pitch, you know, because it's the one that looks like the fastball. So they see fastball when it's coming in and swing over the top or ground it to the seager at third.
That's a big lineup over there. Like, take two out of three here and kind of shut them down at the end.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, this was a big series for us to come out and a big road trip. You know, we win 5 out of 6. That's awesome coming out of the break and just got to keep it going here and keep ourselves in this race.
James, how different is it right now? You had that break and now everybody's kind of looking forward to be able to put everything behind you after that. Is that something you see?
Yeah, everyone's fired up. You know, we're all ready to fight for this season. We all believe that we can do that and be right there in the end.
As Mike was saying, you put that cutter in your pocket for a start or two, basically. What were you doing in that pen to try and find it? He said it didn't feel right and you didn't want to use it. What was kind of thinking about that?
Yeah, you know, we just got the changeup going those times versus the cutter. And, you know, I think versus these two clubs we've faced the past few times out, the cutter was a better pitch to them versus the changeup. And just working on the pen and trying to get it to that kind of back foot spot that I want to get it to.
All right, so there it is. Mariners win 4-1 over the Astros. They take the series. They win all but one on this road trip and now come home and they face the Yankees. Yankees 48-45. They hold the second wild card. The Mariners 1.5 back of New York. They still have to leap over Minnesota, too. Minnesota just a half game back of the Yankees. But the Mariners 1.5 back of New York, and they will play them 4 times over the next 4 days. Here's what the pitching matchups look like. Felix Hernandez will go. Happy Felix Day tonight. 5-3. A 4.20 ERA. He has made a tradition of pitching well against the Yankees. Last time he saw them, last year, went 5 innings, gave up 1 run, fanned 4. That was a while ago, though. We're talking April 16th last year. The time before that, it was July 19th of 2015, went 6, allowed 1 earned run. And one of his best career starts against the Yankees in 2012 went the distance. 2 hits, a 2-hitter, no runs, a couple walks, and 6 punch-outs. So Felix will face the New York Yankees. Mariners are going to see a very hard thrower in return. Luis Severino, 5-4 with a 3.40 ERA. No starter throws harder than Severino. His fastball averages 97 miles per hour. Unbelievable. Derek Cole second on the list at 96. Then it goes down from there. Michael Fulmer, Strasburg. But no one throws harder. 97. His slider at 88 miles per hour. He's got some raw ability that the Mariners left to deal with. And he was great his last time out in Boston. Went 7, allowed 4 hits and a run, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. Time before that against the Brewers, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, fanned 10. He's gotten a double-digit punch-outs 4 different times this season. At times, he has really flashed some brilliance. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough one. This is a good matchup, Severino against Felix in Game 1 of the series. Andrew Moore will get the call in Game 2 on Friday. CC Sabathia will take the turn. Miranda on Saturday against Tanaka. And then Gavilio on Sunday is scheduled to get the call. So that's how things shape up. And again, we'll dive more into the rest of the series coming up on the podcast tomorrow. Some things generally about the Yankees. They were blistering hot to start the season. It was a great start to the season for New York. In fact, to June 11th, they had the second best record in the American League. The Astros 44-20 at that point. The Yankees were 37-23. And no team had scored as many runs in baseball as the Yankees had scored at that point. 353 runs. Not even the Astros had scored that many at that point of the season. But it has been a different story since then. After June 11th, the Yankees now have the worst record in baseball at 11-21. not scoring nearly as many runs. 143 runs scored since then, and they've allowed 157. So during that time frame, generally middle of the pack in runs allowed, but runs scored, and compared to where they were, just not even close. So not playing at the same high level at all that they were early on in the season. It's also going to be interesting to watch Aaron Judge in this series. He has had a ridiculous season. His numbers are totally out of control, but he's had some struggles. Played yesterday off the bench, came in as a pinch hitter, and went 0 for 1 in the ball game. He's 3 for 26, no extra base hits since the All-Star break. 34 at-bat homerless streak. So I guess if you're looking at it from a Mariners perspective, maybe he's slumping or he's due. So you can look at it one of the two ways. But there's just no way he would be able to keep that same pace in the first half, because it's off the charts. I mean, he's leading in home runs, 30 this year. He's walked 66 times, batting .313, a .434 on base percentage, that's best. .647 slugging, that's best. 1.082 OPS, that's best. I mean, he is just crushing the ball. What's most interesting, he was at Safeco Field last year in a Yankees uniform. His numbers last year, though, in 84 at-bats, he fanned 42 times, exactly half. Batted 179, but he flipped it completely. I mean, completely, and he's just mashing the ball this year. I mean, it was inevitable he would slow down because that pace is just not sustainable. He was so good. And we'll see if the Mariners can keep his bat quiet. That's going to be a key in this series. If they can try and keep him quiet a little bit, Mariners have a chance to have some success against the Yankees in this series. Now, one of the differences for New York, they just completed the trade with the White Sox, and they have made games short. That's what this trade has done. We already know about the back end of their bullpen. Betances is back there, although he hasn't been as invincible this year. Still, 59 punchouts and 31 and a third innings, 2.87 ERA. Chapman, again, hasn't been as dominant, 3.42 ERA. Still 35 strikeouts and 23 and two-thirds. They haven't been as dominant. At the same time, you wouldn't want to have to face those guys trailing in a ball game. They've added Robertson to the mix. The White Sox closer has had a very nice year. Basically, I mean, they have a chance with a lead to really make it a 5-6 inning ball game. The Yankees a team now you want to jump on the starter. You want to get ahead early in a ball game. Starting pitching has been inconsistent for the most part. Tanaka has been better as of late. Again, we'll dive into this more coming up. But overall has struggled this season, an ERA near 5.5. Pineda has had Tommy John, so he's lost for the season. Sabathia, 3.5 ERA. He's had a nice bounce back. Severino has been their best starter so far this year. So this is going to be a really fun series. I hope Safeco is packed. It should be a lot of fun as the Mariners try and chase down the Yankees. I mean, think about that. After this four-game series, who knows? Mariners could be the team holding the second wild card. Fun stuff. Hope to see you at the yard coming up this weekend. Again, 7:10 first pitch tonight. Right now, fun conversation. Shannon Dreher with Casey Kandel.
Earlier today, I caught up with first base coach Casey Kandel to talk a little base running. The skipper's talked about things that you guys wanted to do with the base running in the second half, and that is an area where you kind of figure in, and we saw Kyle Seager doing some spectacular base running on game one in here, and saying that he had a little conversation about you about with wanting to run more after he saw how effective he was in game one.
Yeah, he thought he was invisible, but I said, you're not invisible. There's three rules of base running. You run as fast as you can all the time. You can't outrun the ball. And you're not invisible. But Kyle told me that the next day he was invisible. He was feeling invisible on the bases, so he wanted to steal some bags. But, base running is so important because, number one, you do it for your teammates. And number two, it can affect the outcome of a game if you do it correctly. I mean, it's just basically you know, looking at the game in terms of, you know, I don't want to get to the next base, but I want to get to the base in front of that, and just putting pressure on the team to make plays. So it just changes the dynamic so much when you put pressure on the defense, and they know that you're going to be running the bases hard, and they have to be aware of that.
What are some of the obstacles? I know it has been a focus, and I know that it's still an area. You look at the numbers right now, this team struggled with that at the beginning of the first half.
Speed. I mean, you know, we have improved on our speed, but I think it's just making a conscious effort to focus on it. And you know, base running is really a lot about thinking ahead and thinking about the situation. I know, like, we have stressed it, and sometimes as players, you try and do too much. You know, you try and take that extra base, maybe when it's a little, you know, a little sketchy to do so. It's just understanding your limitations and parameters, and then taking it into the game and putting it into work and doing it.
And it's one of the more controllables in the game. And Scott said to that end, there's an awareness, and you guys are doing something in the everyday meetings with that right now.
Yeah, you're just showing, you know, basically it's the good, bad, and the ugly. And it could be of either team. So, you know, hopefully all of our videos are of our players doing the good things, and the bad and the ugly are the other team. But, you know, it's just making players aware of what's going on, and you know, it's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. It's kind of looking at somewhere, maybe, hey, maybe we can improve in this and improve in our thought process and what we're doing and how we're approaching the game in that area of it. You know, check the outfield, check the infield where they're playing, just give you a better idea of you know, if you could advance to the next base wherever the ball is hit.
All right, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because you spent so much time here, but obviously these Houston Astros fans have got a big day coming up with the Hall of Fame inductions coming up. What do you remember about a young Jeff Bagwell?
No, he's, you know, a pretty good player. You know, he's one of my best friends in the game, and continues to be a you know, a great friend you know, after we've been done playing. But just, I mean, and you talk about, you know, base running, and he did it right. He, you know, was a guy who could steal bases, ran the bases very well, you know, took it as a very important part of you know, the entire game. And you run the bases for your teammates, essentially. I mean, you know, and if you get on base, and your thought process is be, I'm scoring a run for my teammate to get him an RBI and to help the team, obviously. But really, you know, his view was, hey, you know, I'm out here and my job is not done. And yeah, I got on base, but my objective is just to touch home plate. So he played the game properly, and you know, with a guy that hit that many home runs, drove in that many runs, and was such a great player, add that to the mix, and it just makes for such a well-rounded player and a great individual. You know, I love him a lot. I'm so proud of him and so happy for him. And you know, we went out to breakfast this morning, and I told him, you know, hey, when you're there, you better mention me. Or
what should he say about you?
Well, that I
are you writing the speech?
I belong in the Hall of Average.
Are you working on that? Have we got a place for you?
Well, I'm going to start my own little thing. There's the Hall of Fame and the Hall of Average, and I'm going to be the founding member of the Hall of Average. And I may be the only member, but I can tell anybody who I want what I feel the best average players in the game ever were. And I'm number one. I set the credentials of what it takes to get into it. Doesn't take much, but...
And I think we decided there's not going to be a permanent home. It's going to be more of a traveling
Winnebago show. Okay. You could come in and look at stuff that average players use, you know, like... I don't know, old shoes. You don't get the top-notch stuff, but, you know, it's kind of cool. All the hats are really old and dirty and uniforms.
All right. Something coming to a town near you soon. We're all looking forward to it. Casey, I thought you were a little too serious there for too long. Good to see you back.
All right. Thank you, Shannon. I appreciate it.
And here's Kevin Martinez with the preview of the homestand.
We have an epic homestand coming up at Safeco Field that includes some fireworks, as we are joined now on the phone by the one and only Kevin Martinez.
My pleasure, Aaron. Happy to be here.
I know you are working hard at Safeco Field right now. You're calling us from your office, I'm sure, no doubt about it. Kevin, this is
Mariners, they got a lot coming up. Three more games on this road trip after today in Houston. But then the Yankees are coming to town, Kevin, a four-game series, and that's going to be a big one both on the field and also around the ballpark, it sounds like.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Really an incredible homestand with the Yankees, Red Sox, and Mets. And the four games with the Yankees, Aaron, we're encouraging everybody to arrive at the ballpark early for all four games. It's really almost like an all-star game encore. And if you think of batting practice at Safeco Field with the likes of Robbie Cano, Nelson Cruz, Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, before the game even starts, should be a lot of fun for the fans out in the outfield with balls flying all over the place. So get to the ballpark early to avoid any long lines. And like you said, we've got some great things planned, starting with a fantastic T-shirt giveaway on Friday night. And then Saturday, we've got the always popular Fedora giveaway, courtesy of EQC. And then on Sunday, we're giving away a wonderful new children's book about Felix Hernandez to all kids 14 and under, and that's courtesy of Comcast. And after the game, always fun. All the kids can come down on the bases and run around the bases. So really four action-packed games to kick off what, as you referred to be, an epic homestand.
I think that's the only way to describe it, Kevin. It sounds like you're in agreement there, which is always good to hear. This big four-game series against the Yankees, and then the epic homestand continues. Red Sox will be in town a day off. The Mets for a couple of days, some interleague play, and we already heard KP singing some fireworks. I know that's coming up at the ballpark as well.
Yeah, that's Friday night, July 28th, the sing-along fireworks version. We created this a few years ago, and it's been real popular with the fans, a real interactive show. And right now we've got a terrific ticket special for that game where fans can get a $17 view-level seat. All they have to do is go to mariners.com/summer17, that's /summer17. That offer's good through tomorrow night, so encourage everybody to hop online and pick up some tickets to that show. Again, that's Friday, July 28th. Saturday, as part of the 40th anniversary, this is really one of my favorite giveaways of the year. We're giving away a replica USS Mariner to the first 15,000 fans. And you might remember that's the boat that sat atop the King Dome outfield wall and a cannon would shoot off during the 1980s every time a Mariners player hit a home run. So this is a really cool collectible, and real excited about that giveaway on Saturday the 29th. And then the homestand concludes on Sunday, July 30th with Aaron. I know your favorite, the Mariners fidget spinner giveaway to all of this. So, lots going on. This homestand, and we're really excited about it. The team's playing great baseball, and it's setting up for a fun second half.
And our minute left here with Kevin Martinez at the front office. If I could make a suggestion, I would say on Saturday,
sure.
Kevin, and you guys, you know, you guys are the pros when it comes to this. I'm just a spectator. I would say with every Mariners home run on Saturday, a cannon sound effect could bellow throughout the ballpark. I mean, what do you think?
I like it.
Do you?
Genius, and maybe that's great. I like it. The cannon sound effect. Put it down.
I think
it's happening.
It would probably startle some people. As long as it's not also a bark in the park night, I think we're going to be okay.
I think we're good. You know, we've had to cut back the fireworks on the bark in the park.
So I hear.
No, I like the cannon idea. Wonderful touch, and maybe there'll be a little animation on the scoreboard. You've done it again, Mr. Goldstein.
Well, this is a magical program, Kevin.
See you later!